And that's why I'm delighted to be doing this work with Seth and today in the SALT teleseminar and the masterclass about getting change right. I mean, Seth and I worked together in the World Bank, and he worked miracles with, they'd come into a group which was disgruntled and skeptical, and within an hour he'd have that group humming and buzzing with energy and vibrancy. He has a way of jump-starting people with dead batteries. He left the World Bank in 2002. He's worked with, made presentations to hundreds of companies and worked in a number of companies with major change programs, and delighted to be working with him. And certainly what I'm talking about is going to involve change, and getting change right is going to be very important. So, Seth, I mean, tell me, how do I get change right?
Well, Steve, the first thing I want to say is that the what I'm about to share is something that I've come to the conclusion of after having worked closely with you at the World Bank, as well as other world-class organizations like Shell or Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab, NASA, Peace Corps, the International Bridge, Tunnel, and Turnpike Association, and so on. So I've had a chance, I'm coming at this from a practitioner's point of view, from somebody who's been kind of at the front lines, not just working with a leader, the person who's in charge of change, but also at the coalface with the people who are actually implementing it. And the first kind of core idea that I want to present here is that change is a process rather than an endpoint. Change is, when people are interested in communicating a change that they have in mind, they often get frustrated that people are not getting it, as if there were a thing that could be pervade or a transaction that could take place, a core idea that they could take out of their brain and put inside someone else's brain. And what I have learned is that that is not how change travels. There is not a single idea that we pass around like a basketball handing from one person to the next. That in fact, what happens in successful change initiatives is that the leaders are very successful at starting conversations and starting webs of conversations. They come up with an idea which excites them, a new way of thinking about the world, something new to do, and what they do is they start having conversations with people who also get excited about it and also start looking through those different lenses and lend their own set of lenses to the idea so that it begins to build into something that is large, something that includes many people. It's not just one person's idea that's spreading, but in fact it becomes an entire social construction. There's a community, if you will, of people who become linked by the ways of looking at the world, the excitement of the ideas that these new lenses provide. And so what I see when I see successful change initiatives is people spending time inviting other people into their conversations. And in fact, what I see them doing is spending more time doing that than they do assembling a project timeline. In fact, what I've seen is kind of an inverse relationship with project management. Typically, when someone has a great idea, they're keen to get a small group of people together and begin to map it out, cause and effect relationships, milestones, goals, objectives, and an endpoint when they will be able to say, yes, we've achieved victory, we've transformed this culture, or we've made this behavior change. But that's the wrong approach. That's not how it works. What happens is that the project timeline has to follow the enthusiasm. It has to follow the creativity. It has to follow the engagement of all the people who are involved. So the conversations have to come first. The truth is that we can't plan a change because we don't know what it's going to look like until we start involving other people. We don't know what's required. If life were as simple as mapping out the point from A to B and then getting there, then Amway would work. People would be able to make tons of money by looking at pyramid marketing, just carry out the steps and you'd be there. But it doesn't. And the reason that it doesn't is because these are live human beings that you're talking about. They all see the world differently. And if you don't take the time to incorporate them into your change, you won't have the necessary engagement or what's called buy-in to see the change come to fruition. So here's the thing that's got me really excited about this way that I see change working. It doesn't require formal authority, and it doesn't require a budget. I hear everywhere I go people saying, I don't have permission to do this, I would have to get so-and-so's approval, I'm not in the right position in the organization, or I don't have any money, I don't have any resources. Do you remember how much budget you had when we started knowledge management?
Zero. I mean, that was nothing.
That's right. Even I was on loan to you. So was every member of the team.
Right.
You had nothing. And yet, in two short years, we were able to transform the way that this stodgy, decentralized, geographically distributed organization thought about what it knew, what its experience was, and what it could leverage in the marketplace. And so I'm very excited, because what that says to me is that visionaries everywhere, people who may not have dedicated resources but really have good ideas for improving the world, can use these principles that I've discovered, which I'll outline later on, to bring change about, to help to improve the world. Anyone with something to offer has a chance to get it up and running, to change things for the better.